All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
That, just like that, it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. This is turning into like almost a real show here. Welcome in to Cabali and Mac. Thanks to our boy Relaxed Styles for the intro video.
Oh, intro.
Presented by, you got to turn your mic on, presented by the Dan Heck Team. You got technical difficulties already. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, the key to your next home. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Whole team is there ready to take care of you. Try talking right
now.
Can
you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah. There was no difference.
There was a difference. You were trying to, unless you were playing mime, then yes, there's a huge difference. What an intro.
We're a professional program here.
Almost. So thanks again to the Dan Heck team for jumping on board as our presenting sponsors. And to all of you for joining us here today, this kind of gloomy and cold Monday morning in Pittsburgh, PA, but wherever you may be in the world, it's a great day to be a Pittsburgher, to be a Yinzer, and to think ahead to the NFL draft 2 weeks away, a little more than 2 weeks away, WrestleMania now just 2 weeks away. So much going on in our worlds right now. Big night out with Pat McAfee and the boys down at the arena on Wednesday night. Maybe Aaron Rodgers gets announced as the Steelers quarterback at some point in the next few weeks as well. Who knows? But we're here to talk about all of it. A little bit of an ugly weekend down at the ballpark. Maybe we'll get into that. A record broken. Some theories about things that will float out there towards the end of the show that you can tell us if you think we're dead wrong or it makes a lot of sense. Again, he is Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. Welcome in. I wanted to start the show with this, Kaboom, because it was something, I want to say you mentioned this, gosh, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, as the Aaron Rodgers thing really started to drag on, and a lot of us have our theories, Ben Roethlisberger included, that maybe Aaron Rodgers is holding out for the Minnesota Vikings, right? And that maybe, just maybe, something could sway him in that direction, if the Vikings were interested. But Jeremy Fowler, our good buddy Jeremy Fowler, who's with ESPN, and covers the league as a whole, but is very acutely aware of what's going on down on the South Side, had this to say on SportsCenter.
But when I talk to people with the Vikings, this is all but dead for them, essentially. Like, okay, maybe if he's available later in the summer, they would revisit, but that just seems unlikely at this point. So it's Steelers, retirement or bust.
Steelers, retirement or bust. Steelers, retirement or bust. Kaboom. You said that like two and a half weeks ago, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think
you pat yourself on the back. Come on. I'm giving you credit where it's due.
Well, I got a big back. Is that what the kids call it? That's what Zach Banner used to call me, big back. That was before big back was actually popular.
You got those traps, those Goldberg traps. Steiner traps.
Yeah, I think Rappaport said something 90 seconds worth of stuff this morning as well about this. I mean, it's, I don't know. There was a lot of qualifiers in a lot of these things, but Minnesota's not interested. And the Steelers spending a couple days in Florida with some of the decision makers, I just get the feeling, obviously nothing was said, that they know that there's something. They have a very good feeling. I don't know if they were give a handshake. I don't know if it was a, hey, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But they are definitely moving forward where it's more than just a wink, wink, nod, nod, that they know what's going on here. I just don't know what the time delay is. That's the only, I mean, he's going to be, for me, you know,
is it money? Is it money? Because I've seen people out there speculating that, like, if he's going to take a 1-year deal or whatever it may be, a 2-year deal where the second year is voidable or whatever, like, he's got to feel comfortable with the number, right?
Well, I was trying to figure this out, and I don't know how much the Jets owe him. How much is he getting paid this year? I was asking around, and nobody seems to have a definitive answer. Sort of like the Russell Wilson, where Denver paid him $40 million to come here.
Right.
And they only had to pay $1.2. I'm sure he's getting paid something by the Jets. I just don't know what that number is right now, because I think there's a voidable year in there right now. So even if it is 30, I mean, if you're looking at 30, seems like a good round number for 1 year. And there's no such thing as a bad 1-year contract. So, I mean, it is what it is. They can afford that. They got about $34-35 million ahead of them. I don't think it's money. And what we saw last week, probably a week ago now, is he looks like you don't go out there and start throwing with a random wide receiver you've never thrown with before if you're contemplating retirement. So I almost can wipe that off the board as well. It seems like it is.
Steelers are bust.
Putting the pen to paper. But the question is, why is this a wait? Why not just get it done? I mean, that's the only question mark in my mind. Why is the delay?
It's got to be a money thing. That's the only thing that I can come to at this point. Or he really still does. Because the theory is, okay, the Vikings aren't interested now. But I don't know, maybe J.J. McCarthy gets into OTAs and minicamp and looks like crap for some reason, or doesn't, whatever. And they decide, okay, we want him to have another year to redshirt, a healthy year to redshirt. And then maybe all of a sudden their interest in Rodgers is reignited. So, I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but as it sits right now, as everybody's situations are currently crafted, it is. It's Steelers or bust. And I wanted to give you a pat on the back there for basically saying that 2 weeks ago. And look, it doesn't mean I'm backing down from the idea that if the Vikings woke up tomorrow and decided to change their mind and give Rodgers a call, that he wouldn't be all in on going to Minnesota. I just think he needs to understand at this point that it's Steelers or bust as it currently exists.
I'm just getting a text message. Sorry. You know me, man. I lose my train of thought quite quickly.
You know what you need? You need one of those things that they have at the kids' schools where they have like a pouch on the back of the door and it's numbered and everybody has a number and they have to put their phone in the pouch before they sit at their desk so they can't be on their phones during class.
All right,
that's what you need. You need to tuck your phone away in like a lockbox during the show.
Okay, now I remember after you like degrade me right here, like I'm not used to this. But the big night at, I'm not totally discrediting that theory, but for that to occur, he needs to be signed today, tomorrow, Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon for that to happen. He's not showing up just to show up.
No. I don't think that would happen either. You know,
some of the commenters were considering. I mean, that is a big story. People were thinking that he's going to come out there and, you know, Omar Khan's going to have his bifold.
I think that would be great. If they did Rodgers, it Adam Pierce style, he comes out Rodgers and signs the contract.
Put the table up on Omar and, oh no, out of the crowd, here comes Cam Hayward. That's not going to happen.
So here's the thing that you have a terrible poker face, Brian Garrett says.
What gives you that idea there, Brian? Maybe a meme or two?
I do think... Well, here's the thing. I've seen people comment every time we've brought up this theory. I've seen, there's the old school guy. They might as well just sell the franchise if they're going to do something like that. That's terrible. Why? Like, it's a different day and age. Like, I'm sorry, it is. And I don't think the Steelers lose any face to sign Aaron Rodgers if it were to happen this way. Like you said. Later this afternoon, tomorrow night, Monday morning, and then Wednesday morning. And then Wednesday night, he walks out on stage, officially a Pittsburgh Steeler, and introduces himself to the crowd.
That makes
and
sense.
The place goes nuts, right? It goes bonkers. Yeah,
like, I guess that's a possibility.
It's a distinct possibility. And I don't know anything, like, I know less than you do about the situation. Let's just be clear. So that wouldn't shock me. It'd be kind of funny because, like, stuff doesn't get done like that in the Steelers atmosphere for the last 75 years, 90 years, whatever it is now. Things change.
Here's a good one for you here. A high-ranking Steelers official last week came up to me and said, "Hey, you think Aaron would still do Pat's show? It would be signs here." I said to him, "Don't you think that's up to you?" So that tells you their mindset, right? I don't think they care. At least during the season, right?
I'm not saying I know who that is who said that to you, but the two people that were down there in Florida that I know you had conversations with and the media met with. People.
I had a conversation with Guy Fieri. It could have been him.
He's not a high-ranking Steelers official. But the two people I can think of.
Gary Dolak?
Both. I can hear that in their voices saying that. And both of them, looking at the way you just described, saying, we don't really care all that much about it. Like, they don't.
Well, when you have the head coach and the general manager also being on the show from time to time, and they allow pretty much anybody to do what they want, I mean, why would he be any differently? So I don't know if that goes towards, hey, let's walk out on the stage with my, double check belt and make the announcement, and I'll be watching it live on stream and saying, "Oh my goodness, he signed with us."
Yeah.
I don't think that's totally two different situations. So,
it's a theory that, let me say this, until about 10:30 or so, 11 o'clock Wednesday night, until that point, until we get to that point and it hasn't happened, people are still going to be holding out the thought that it could happen that way.
I would bet if there's 20,000 there, I'm just throwing a number out there, I bet you half of them think it's going to happen. At least from people I've heard from through Twitter, and they think they got it all figured out. And I'm like, if you're asking me, you're asking the wrong guy, because I got less knowledge than you. And Pony's burner account, I might have a bad poker face, but I'm telling the truth on that one.
He says you can't stop grinning. Cheshire Cat.
Well, already people were asking. Another thing is, I saw Tomlin the next day, and he's the only person in probably Western civilization that had no idea about the sleeping meme. So that tells you how much he pays attention to social media.
So hold on. Let me ask you something real quick. Because Thursday and Friday were big days for rookie quarterbacks. Thursday was, or for rookie quarterback discussion. Thursday was Jackson Dart's visit to the Steelers facility, right?
Friday.
Was it Friday? Okay. Whatever day it was. And it was the same day as Shedeur Sanders, and Colorado's showcase day. It's pro day, out in Boulder, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I want to ask a question about Shedeur Sanders in a second. But at the end of the day, because speaking of darts, you were on the receiving end of one, and you don't need me to stand up for you. You don't. But you were under the impression, as someone told you, that Mike Tomlin was not going to be at the facility on that day, right?
Well, when the guy who's another high-ranking official of 18 years and runs basically everything except the books tells you that he's going to see his daughter in Seattle for a gymnastics regional on Friday that starts at 4 o'clock on a Eastern time zone,
right?
You pretty much just make the assumption that
he's not going to be in the office that day.
Follow up on that, but maybe he changed his plans. Maybe we're lying. I don't know. I got a dart. And not like I can reply to it. You can't win those. You got a bunch of, for lack of better words, jock sniffers jumping on every part. Oh, you tell him, whatever. But I think it was a unnecessary dart. I mean, especially when people tend to get into your mentions and start being mean. So,
well, I've told you, stop looking at the comments. I know that's hard.
They pop up. I don't do it on purpose.
Turn notifications off. Do something.
I do. Only people that can notify me are people I follow, or I think, you know, no picture, the valid email and all that stuff is all turned off. So I don't see 99% of it. But when your buddy texts you, you tend to look at it.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. I'm staying away from it. But what I'm saying is I didn't think I would have to follow up 36 hours later. But no, hey, you live and you learn.
You do. You do. But so to the other quarterback, right? So Dart visited the facility. We're going to speculate. People can get mad at that. I'll speculate that Mike may have spent some time with Dart there in the morning and then either left to go see the end of his daughter's gymnastics meet. I don't know. It's a 5-hour flight, even on a private jet.
540, really? 540 plus, you know, half hour flight. It's not like I was looking this up or nothing. Half hour drive from the airport to the arena.
Yeah. So he would have had to be out of the Steelers facility by 10 o'clock and still wouldn't have gotten to Seattle until
maybe he changed his mind.
Until 5. Yeah. Maybe he changed his mind and decided, hey,
Seattle isn't an easy flight that anybody wants to make. So
anyway,
it was so minute. It was like, he's not expected to be there. Okay. Who cares? I mean, how much time does he spend with him?
He probably met with him at the combine, I would think, right?
I would assume he's in that room. But what I'm saying is, even there, you introduce him around, you probably look at some more medicals. You probably get him with a guy like Arthur Smith, Tom Arth. They do a lot of the leg work, and I don't know how much the head coach is really involved in this. Maybe he is, but I don't think he's there for 8 hours. I don't think 7.5 of them was Mike Tomlin, you know, leading him around by the arm.
Probably not. No. So then Shador has his workout on, I guess it was the same day or a day later. The weekend's kind of all melting together in my brain because it's filled with cold medicine and allergy medicine. But there wasn't anything spectacular. You know, I thought Orlovsky put it well, both on Pat's show on Friday and then again this morning on SportsCenter, where he said the one thing a lot of people wanted to see from Shador was that he could fire like those 15 to 18 yard outs, as he called them on Friday, piss missiles, right? That he has the arm strength to get those balls out there on a line, on a rope. And he didn't really show that. Threw a lot of deep balls. Those looked okay. But it feels like the gulf between Cam Ward at 1 and Shador Sanders at 2 is getting wider and wider, to the point where the Browns and the Giants are now, you know, a lot of speculation around those two teams. It is smokescreen season, but a lot of speculation around those two teams going Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter in some order at 2 and 3, or just not a quarterback. And then Sanders would start to slide, right? If he doesn't go 9 to New Orleans, where's he going to go? I mean, there's a couple teams in there. There's the Jets, maybe. The Raiders just signed Geno to this extension. So that's
30.
Probably 30, not.
What's he, 34?
Oh, Geno's not young anymore.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, you pretty much have to throw a lot of stuff out when, especially what happened last year with Penix. I mean, you got to have that next guy in tow. And even if you have Geno Smith as your guy, why not? I mean, look at Tua in Miami. Oh, he's great, no, but how, I mean, one more hit and you're done? Don't you have to?
But that's not what you spend a first-round pick on, I don't think. I get what you're saying.
Bryce Young said nothing in Carolina.
I understand, but
maybe. What's the Colts have?
Right, the Colts have, you know, maybe a has-been and a never-will-be competing for the starting job. I get it, but I understand what you're saying, but I do think that those aren't the teams that are going to spend first-round capital on quarterback. Maybe they take a speculative pick on somebody on the second or third day, right? I think if we're talking about leaning into one of these other two quarterbacks, Sanders and Dart, as a first round pick, there's very few teams that are going to be willing to do that. And that if you get beyond the top 10, you really slide quickly all the way down to Bing, our Steelers at 21. And whether it's Sanders going ninth to New Orleans, and then Dart comes down, or Dart goes ninth to New Orleans in a little bit of a surprise, and Sanders slides down. My point is, I think they're going to have one, at least one of those two guys to choose from at 21 if they want to.
Then they pass.
They pass on both of them?
Listen, you sign Aaron Rodgers. You're making that assumption you're signing Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
That indicates to you they're keeping George Pickens for all intents and purposes, unless George comes in and said, I want out now, which it doesn't seem like that's the case. The Steelers are under the impression they want to win now, right now. There is no tomorrow. There is no next year. And guess who does not help you next year? Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders. But somebody like Harmon or Nolan could potentially help you this year. Maybe even a wide receiver could help you this year. So that's that's what I think their mindset is. What can help us win now? We're all in it for this year. We'll worry about next year. And even if Shedeur Sanders falls, I think he would be a solid pick, not an absolute slam dunk. He's a winner. He wins everywhere he goes. The tape is the tape. When you have a guy like Hunter, you could just throw the ball in his vicinity and he goes and makes you look good. But I am not taking any chance in the first round with a quarterback unless I'm absolutely sure, especially when you have a 42-year-old quarterback and a couple good wide receivers and you think you can win the division this year. I just don't do that with a first round pick. I do something that can help you now.
I just think if it happens, they're going to be tempted.
Jackson Dart's going to be there at 20, and they're going to pass for like defensive Harmon from the Oregon.
Okay,
right?
So let's say
you'd be city might go crazy there.
Well, no. I guess this is the other way to look at it too. One of two things is going to happen: either quarterback slide and D linemen and receivers and running backs go earlier than maybe expected, or the other way around, the quarterbacks go early and the wide receivers, the running backs, and the D linemen slide down to you. So I guess it's not something you would ordinarily say, but I think they're in a decent spot at 21. Like they can have two different paths they can take. And either path, I think, will present itself that night based on how quickly people jump on Sanders and Dart, or how quickly people let those guys slide so that they can jump on Derek Harmon or Golden or whoever else, whatever other wide receivers, D linemen, Genty, Hampton, running backs you want to talk about.
What about the Giants? Say if Dart's there at 20 and the Giants want to jump back in from 34 in the second round because they're taking whoever they're taking in the first round, whoever.
Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter.
Man, you could pick up a second round pick there, but then you would have to move out of the first round, which I don't think they would do. They would be maybe willing to move a couple spots, but they don't want to leave the first round.
No. I could see backing up, three or four spots maybe, depending, because a lot of those teams that are immediately behind them, I don't think have the same interest in position, or the same positional need that they do, and thus interest in the same players, right? So they could back up three or four spots and not gamble losing somebody that they really like. So that would be interesting, though, if all those teams pass on quarterback and then try to trade up maybe in front of you or to get back into the first round. That's something to keep an eye on, too.
Some of the chatter in Florida was they're not interested in the first round quarterback, but that could be smokescreen. Who knows? But I just don't think it lines up with it. Didn't somebody I read somewhere, I don't even know, refer to Jackson Dart as a poor man's Kenny Pickett? I might be a little too harsh.
That's a bit much, I think. One of those kids up in South Oakland who doesn't have anything better to do, typing up a scouting report based on watching a bowl game.
Yeah. Or Penn State, right?
Look.
Well, what I'm saying is I think if you're using a 20th overall pick, they learn from Kenny. you better be in absolute love with him, not just the fact that he was the best quarterback at 20 and you thought that he was not going to be, that was your best chance to get in the number one overall prospect. And then it turns out 2022 was a terrible year for quarterbacks.
Yeah, awful. Yeah, that's the
like comparison. Matt, talking about ponies, burner. I actually liked a little bit of Matt Corral.
Oh, he called him a poor
man. A couple years ago, and he
Matt
just,
Corral's playing on Sunday, Saturdays, and Sundays now, playing in the old UFL.
Yeah, I should suit up and play. Now I gotta be gone. Boom.
Sure you do. Sure you
no,
do.
No, I'm just. I just don't think. I think they're under the impression they're winning this year. And a quarterback does not help you. And I don't think, I mean, I don't think they're too interested, too worried about long-term future with quarterback right now. Let's deal with it next year when we.
The level of belief in now is still wild.
I'm okay with that, though. I'd rather just say, okay, we think we can win now. We're going to do everything we win now rather than, you know, have the owner come out and say, hey, I put all the money I can into this organization. Now it's up to the executives.
We'll I'd get to that in a second.
What would you rather have?
No, I would much rather have a team that at least gets me to the playoffs every year, even if they lose in the wild card round, and at least has some level of belief in their ability to do that. We got to thank Southwest Greens as well. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Your yard's a mess right now, most likely. It's filled with mud and dead grass. And the rest of the stuff is turning green, but who knows? Half of it may be weeds. How about you take all the guesswork out of that and get a beautiful artificial lawn laid down by Southwest Greens? Go to southwestgreenspa.com. You see it on the screen right now. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and they'll get on out and show you exactly what they can do. Maybe a little area in the backyard for you to practice the putting swing, huh? Because it's golf weather. Maybe
putting is a putt.
Yeah, you swing the club.
I saw a couple of those pictures, man. He does some good work.
It's amazing. It's unreal the job they can do. But you can get the whole yard done if you want, and they'll do a great job. Then you're not spraying chemicals on the lawn. You're not spending all the money on watering it. You're not doing all the things that you have to worry about doing with your lawn, because Southwest Greens will come on out and give you the best looking lawn in the neighborhood. And you know what? You won't have to mow. You won't have to weed whack. None of that crap. You want your lawn to look like something you're going to see on your TV this weekend, with it being Masters weekend, by all means, go to southwestgreenspa.com. All right, you mentioned it. So let's talk about the weekend that was at the old ballpark.
The old barn.
Hold on.
Can I get a word, Bob? Bob, can I get a word? How was opening day for you?
How you doing?
So Bob Nutting gets approached by people on the rotunda on the day of the home opener.
Where is he going? And why is he going on the rotunda? He's trying to be the man of the people? I don't know.
I can't explain anything the man does or says. The sell the team chants all weekend long were loud. People are fed up. They're go ahead. What are you going to say?
Now you're fed up? Have you been paying attention?
This is boiling over. Like, this has been simmering for what? I mean,
40 years.
Yeah, that's all.
When did he take over? When did he take over ownership?
When did he officially take over from McClatchy? I want to say it was probably right after the ballpark opened.
Yeah. He's worth $1.1 billion, by the way.
What's that?
He's worth $1.1 billion.
Well, he's done all he can. He's put all the money in that they can.
But they got Exxon Valdez at first base, but they can do all. He's done everything he could. Exxon Valdez, Jesus.
Hey, here's the thing. The rotunda walk is mystifying to me.
Yeah.
Like you said, what are you doing? Stay in the back hallways. Take the elevator wherever you want to go. The ushers will make sure no one's mean to you in the back hallways. Like, I don't understand. Like, what was the thought process there? That you were going to go out and all of a sudden everybody was going to start applauding you or something? Like, I don't know if he's just so wildly out of touch with reality. That has to be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't care. I mean, God love the fans for their airplane and their signs and their chants and their not harassment, but at least them calling him out. Like, God bless him. He doesn't care. He's worth $1.1 billion, and the guy stands in line at 35A at Southwest for open seating to, you know, Tampa or wherever it was, Bradenton. I saw it before. I have a picture of it before. Somebody sent me one. So he does not care. He's not going to change. He's not going to sell a team. It's a cow. I mean, even if you don't show up to the game, it doesn't matter. It's just going to come off the payroll next year. I mean, why would he sell when he just got a boatload of cash rolling in every single year? I mean, there's nothing. There's literally nothing they can do. So fans can boycott, not show up, whatever. Nothing's going to change.
Well, here's what I will say. People are going to start. Look, the opening weekend is out of the way, right? Yankees were in town.
There was nobody there yesterday.
Right. So other than when the teams that traditionally bring their fans to town come in on weekends, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Mets, the Phillies. I don't know if they play the Red Sox or Orioles at home this year, but you know, you might get some of those, especially Red Sox fans, come to town. But other than those series and when Skeens pitches, people don't have any desire to go see this, right? And it's a shame because all the stuff we've said for years, beautiful ballpark, and now they've got the best pitcher in baseball, and nobody's going to want to go. And so that is going to – I understand what you're saying about him being worth $1.1 billion or whatever it is. It's going to affect the amount of money they bring in when people don't go to the ballpark.
It just comes off the bottom. I mean, it's almost – he even said this before – and I mean, I paraphrase, but you know, if they start playing well, he can put money more into the team. That's like saying, I'm going to make you a crap pizza. And if you keep buying it, then I'll start putting the good cheese on it.
Yeah, I'll get the good pepperoni. Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. So, and there's only one way out. Honestly, there is only one way out. I've thought of one. Salary cap or salary somewhere.
Floor and cap is the solution.
That's the only hope the Pittsburgh Steelers and Pittsburgh Pirates fans have.
So this is what I don't understand. I don't understand why he won't at least present the visual, right? Even if it's not legitimate, at least present the visual that you're going to fight for that, right? Yeah. And that you're going to make the team more financially sustainable and actually able to spend in line with your competitors if you install a floor and a cap. Now, I do understand why he wouldn't genuinely be on board with it, because if there's a floor, that means he's also got to spend at least $100 million a year or whatever the floor may end up being.
You know how many $100 million make a billion? I mean, it's chump change.
Yeah. Look, you got to spend money to make money. I totally get it. We both understand. But what I don't get is this man's, like, incredible level of tone deafness to everything around him and his team.
Now, my question too is to you, do you think he believed what he said?
Yeah.
Or is he just putting on a, you
know, I just think there's a certain level of delusion. Yeah. That it's like George Costanza, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe it. And that's exactly what it is. He's deluded himself into believing all of the things that he says.
Well, there are small market teams have been successful. So
yeah, I mean,
he's looking into that, but on a short term basis, you don't see.
No. Michael K pointed it out during the Yankees broadcast the other day. Cleveland is competing year in and year out. The Guardians used to be the Indians, compete year in and year out and have for 30 years. Rare is the year where the Guardians are out of it on opening day or in the first month of the season. That's the same market. 2.5 hours up the road, it's the same market.
Look at Tampa. They've made the playoffs 6 out of 7 years, and they're playing in a freaking minor league stadium this year. They made good moves. They never had attendance there.
No, they do go through waves where they will be crap for a couple of years at a time, and then they bounce back because they have to constantly work at replenishing things. But, like, Cleveland's a perfect example. I'm glad Michael K. brought it up over the weekend. Cleveland competes every single stinking year. It is the same exact fucking market. I'm sorry.
Yet they've never won anything. When's the last time the Indians won a title?
Okay, that's fine. Just get me there, please. The
Cleveland Spiders.
Just get me there, please.
Yeah, I hear you.
At least show a level of effort in trying to get there, right? I mean,
I hear you. I just, first of all, back to him being so rich. You know, he's the 10th richest owner in Major League Baseball.
Really?
There's not much difference between like 3 and 10. I mean, he's proven to you, though, you don't need to spend money to make money. Bob Nutting's proven that's not true, though.
Yeah.
He's making a ton of money and he's not spending a ton of money.
Just his face.
He stands in line at Southwest open seating.
He does not. Seriously?
I'll find that. I have a picture. You know, I'm a pack rat when it comes to keeping pictures. I have it. Somebody sent me a picture of him. He might not have even been in A1 through 30. He might have been A30 through 60.
He didn't even pay for the upgrade.
Nah, you didn't pay for the upgrade. I mean, it's direct flight now, but come on. You're worth $1.1 billion.
Why wouldn't you just take a private jet? Why? If you have that much money, seriously, if you have that much money, you just drive up to the county airport and knock on a door somewhere and say, hey, do you know how to fly? Take me to Florida.
I'm kind of
here's a couple grand.
I'm kind of cheap myself, but I just grew up poor.
So same. Yeah.
Even if I had $1.1 billion, I'd probably be in Southwest too. I'll be like, I ain't paying this $10,000-$15,000 for a flight. I would be the same way, but that's just ingrained in me right now. Right now, I can go on the road and spend whatever I want, and I'm still staying at La Quinta.
With the vibrating beds.
Yeah, I just can't figure. I just can't.
Kaboom loves
spending the money.
Loves it's a good vibrating mine. Bed.
That's not even
pop
money.
A quarter in that, buddy. You get 5 minutes. Good to go.
We were talking about that last time, but my sink in the La Quinta had no hot water. You turn it on, it would go, come out, water count, and then it just stopped.
Oh,
I'm like, well, don't wash your hands in here because there's no hot water.
Don't brush your teeth. But, don't you wash your hands. Don't do anything.
I'm thinking all you do is sleep here. I don't want to spend the money. It's not even my money. I hear a lot of coworkers as journalists say, well, it's not your money. I'm like, yeah, but that's beside the point. I'm not going to just waste people's money when I could just stay at the La Quinta.
How many times have you stayed at a place where you had to sleep on top of the covers? Because you didn't want
everywhere. I've never opened those covers. I get rid of the comforter because who knows what's on those things.
We stopped. We stopped our mutual buddy, Tim Santoro. He and I drove down to Myrtle Beach one year while our wives and kids flew down. And we stopped at was it a Comfort Inn, Days Inn? I don't know. In like Darlington, North Carolina, South Carolina. I don't know. Carolina.
Classic NASCAR race.
Darlington. Classic NASCAR town. But let me tell you, the Days Inn, there was no lobby to the hotel. Okay. There were external doors to the rooms and bulletproof glass where you had to slide your credit card underneath to pay for the room. We slept on top of the covers, both of us on our beds.
I knew you were cheap, but Santoro, come on.
It was the only place to stop. It was like 3 a.m. and we were both falling asleep at the wheel. Had to stop somewhere.
You're driving. You know, you could have got a direct flight from like Latrobe for like $87.
There wasn't flights from Latrobe at this point for whatever reason. Or it wasn't on a day where we could get them because the Latrobe flight was like on a Sunday night.
You just wanted to act like you were a kid again and drive to Myrtle Beach.
I don't mind driving. We drove home from Tampa once in one day when the kids were little.
I drove from Disney one time. That's a mistake.
Yeah, the drive home from Tampa was rough. 18 hours in a car. But the kids were little and they just sat there and watched your DVDs the whole way. Anyway, so yeah, it's...
No, I think the only vacation...
It's okay to be cheap when you're up. What's that?
The only vacation I had growing up was going to Kings Island. I think the car broke down on the way there.
It's okay to be cheap when you're us. When you're a $1.1 billion worth...
Honestly, if I had $1.1 billion...
Baseball owner.
I don't think I would be spending money. I wouldn't go buy a yacht.
I wouldn't be going nuts, but like I wouldn't be standing in line at Southwest.
You don't realize how much $1 billion is. People don't know that's a billion. It's like zero up from a million or a couple. What is it?
Put it in perspective. It's 1,000 millions.
It's like crazy. Does that make sense? It's crazy.
It's wild. So I'm bitter. I mentioned this last week. We had Nick Moraldo, the Pat McAfee show on a couple weeks ago. He was excited for it to happen. I know hockey fans in general were excited for it to happen. I was not excited for this to happen.
Here is Ovechkin shoots. He scores! He scores! Number 895!
Yay, Alex Ovechkin scored number
895. I'm just glad he scored it from the Ovi dot.
He did. I mean, it was a classic Ovechkin goal on the power play from his office. I can't get excited about it. I'm sorry. I'm a bitter yinzer.
Can't you just enjoy the?
It was Gretzky and Ovechkin on the ice together, palling it up, yucking it up. But please, neither one of you is the most talented guy of your generation. So get the hell out of the way. I need a Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby moment to just cleanse my hockey palate.
You are ultimate answer. You can't sit there and enjoy history happening in front of your eyes.
No, I can't because I don't like Ovechkin.
They call me a hater. Well, I mean, what did Ovi ever do? He's a man's man. He's drinking beer, jumping in pools, whatever.
Oh yeah, his summer with the cup was epic.
Unbelievable. How can't you lie? I mean, he's no teeth, gray hair. I mean, first any guy who is maybe an honorary yinzer would be him.
No, he wouldn't be.
Come on.
I will admit. Okay, I'll admit this much. Had it gone the other way and Ovechkin ended up here and Crosby in Washington, people would love Ovechkin here, no doubt. Like they would love him here.
You know what you hate? You hate that the freaking Capitals are a good team again.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like that the Capitals are good again. I don't like that Ovechkin and Gretzky are being celebrated all weekend long. I don't like, you know, Penguin fans being excited to see Ovechkin break the record. What? The hell are we doing? Are you kidding me? No. I'm trying to think of another. Did we get excited when Ray Lewis went into the Hall of Fame? No.
Alan Faneca get excited when Big Ben came into the starting lineup? Excited?
I'd say it's excited.
I can't.
I'm a bitter yinzer.
Why can't you like both? Why can't you say, you know what? Crosby's a great player, but so is
Ovechkin's a great player. I'm not saying he's not a great player. He's the greatest goal scorer of all time. The numbers say so. I can't argue against that.
You say you're more of a not a niche hockey guy like me. What does the league look? Do they look at Ovechkin equal, better, or less than Crosby? The overall, the sport in general. Is he right there with still? Or is Sid's a little bit higher because of the two more cups, or?
I think the sport acknowledges that they're two very different animals, that Ovechkin is just about pure raw power and scoring goals, and Crosby is the total package of a hockey player and leadership and everything that goes into it. They're cut from a different cloth, even so much in the positions that they play, right? Crosby's a center. He's a general on the ice. He's a coach. He's bringing up young guys now. Ovechkin is a right wing, I don't want to call him power play specialist because that's overstating it or understating his ability at 5-on-5. But like Ovechkin's a pure goal scorer. That's what he is. Crosby is a complete and total hockey player. There's a difference. Ovechkin could be the best in the world to ever do what he's done being a pure goal scorer. Fine. But Crosby is the complete and total package of what I want as the guy who's going to wear the C, be the one to lead on and off the ice and all that kind of stuff, play a complete and total team game, make people like Chris Kunitz and Brian Rust Hall of Famers or near Hall of Famers someday and win everybody multiple cups. That's what Crosby is. He's the total package. Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer of all time, but that's it.
I just wonder if if the national guy. I mean, I'm just thinking of Pig K Subban, but that's not fair. If you just put out a poll, who will go down as a better player? But, you know, Canada's so pro Crosby that I don't think you could ever get a good read on what the feel is. You know, if you just put it up, obviously the Pittsburgh fans are going to say Crosby. If United States, somebody in the United States, obviously people that follow him in Canada is going to say the Canadian over the Russian, right?
Yeah, I think if you
ask, in the grand scheme of things, if it's that much of a difference or not. I'm playing, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's a difference as far as like, I don't think it's a gradient in like, oh, one's better than the other. I think they're almost dead even, right? Like okay, you said,
but, it's but about Obi's never mentioned on the Mount Rushmore, right? If you're saying the Mount Rushmore, it's always like, you know, Gordie Howe and
Howe, Gretzky, Crosby.
Maybe Crosby and Lemieux.
Yeah, there you go. There's your
Ovi.
No, because he's good. He's the best ever at one thing. And that one thing is very important. It's goal scoring. Nobody's arguing that it isn't important, but he's very good at that one thing. And that's it. Like, I don't know. I'm just, again, I'm just a bitter yinzer.
Yeah, you got black and gold glasses on.
Probably. I think if you asked American hockey fans outside of Pittsburgh, if you asked American hockey fans who are not also Penguins fans, right? I think they would acknowledge just what I said a couple minutes ago. Crosby is the best all-around player of his generation. Ovechkin is the best goal scorer of his generation. They just happen to be in the same generation. I don't know if you can, but Sid's got three cups to Ovechkin's one. I mean, if you want to look for an ultimate measure, that would probably be it. Crosby elevates his teammates.
Okay.
Ovechkin.
What happens when the Capitals win it this year?
Okay, he'll have two. Sid will still have three. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you can't complain about Sid. I mean, Sid is – he looks like a guy who can easily play five more years.
Yeah, he's got that Brady gene where he'll want to play forever. Thanks to Impact HVAC. You see the number on the screen, 412-297-1852, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They do a great job of taking care of you, whether it's just to get the AC tuned up before it gets warm later this spring, maybe some of these cold nights that we're still having, your furnace goes kaput, they'll come on out, they'll take a look, they'll fix it up. If they can't fix it up, they'll replace it, and they'll do it all with incredible service and incredible speed. We've had them out here multiple times. They check up our stuff every year. They replaced our furnace last month. Great. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or like I said, give them a call when the phone number pops up there again in a few seconds. Okay, this happened over the weekend as well, and it needs to be addressed because, once again, I think I'm going to end up giving you credit for something, Kaboom.
It's become a theme, right? It's become a theme.
It's becoming a theme where, yeah, you know.
I said, what can I do for you? And in that moment, you looked me in the eye and you said, Punk, when you main event WrestleMania, force them to deal with us. Well, they aren't here anymore, so I'm gonna force you, my tribal chief. I'm gonna force you out of your comfort zone. I'm gonna force you to deal with us. Because at WrestleMania, in the main event, in my corner, your wise man, my best friend, Paul Heyman.
I just love it. Heyman sells these moments so hard. It's great. He's over there going, oh my God, oh my God. So this is great. We were sitting around with some friends on Friday night, our neighbors, while the kids were playing, and actually just watched.
Thanks for the invite.
The final 15 minutes of SmackDown. You wouldn't come over anyway because you don't leave the house. And so I was trying to explain it to those that hadn't been in the loop what exactly was going on. And it's a beautiful callback to like a moment 15 years ago where Heyman and Punk were in the ring together on Raw. And it seems to be setting up that, okay, we got this triple threat match, the main event on the first night of WrestleMania, Rollins, Reigns, and Punk. And you expect Heyman will, you know, do something to help CM Punk win, right? And then the full complete turn against Roman Reigns will take place. But I have seen wild theories on the interwebs, Kaboom, that that's not what could happen on the Saturday night of WrestleMania. And you alluded to this a couple weeks ago. You said, what if in that triple threat match, Heyman turns on both of them, and there's a Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins alliance.
Or you can go one, you can go a little deeper too.
Oh,
how about Paul Heyman, Cody Rhodes? Maybe Cody beats Cena. Then somehow there's a stipulation where Punk faces Cody in the next day. I don't know. I might be walking back a little bit on Seth. I had to rank order, if I had to rank him in order of who he's going to align himself with, I think number one now would be Roman, because it looks like it's so much against Roman at this point. He's going to screw Punk. But I would probably put Roman one, Seth two, Cody three. Then I think Punk might be last in the ranking of who he turned or who he might be with next.
So you think Heyman turns against Punk even?
I want evil Heyman. I want heel Heyman. I want the dirty, no good scoundrel Heyman.
You want the ponytail back.
I want that guy back because he's so good at what he can do. I thought you were going to be talking about something else, though.
What'd you think I was going to bring up?
Tiffy and Charlotte going off the card a little bit.
In on Charlotte. Now, there are thoughts on the internet that was unscripted.
Just how Charlotte reacted to DMs, you could tell she was mad. She was trying to get one last.
That is the weakest dig back.
Yeah, so, which makes it even more believable that she wasn't ready for it.
I mean, I can't imagine, for those that missed it on Friday night on SmackDown, Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton, who are going to meet for the women's world heavyweight title at WrestleMania. They had a promo, and Charlotte Flair got booed viciously by the crowd in Chicago. They were on Tiffy's side, and you know, Tiffy went in. She said, you know, in the end, whatever happens, not only will I still be the champion, but you'll be alone outside the ring, just like you're alone inside the ring, and dropped a line, something to the effect of, what's your record outside the ring now, Charlotte? 0-3, alluding to the divorce that just happened.
I thought she only got divorced twice.
I don't know. I don't keep track. Either way, it was a great line. And if that was not scripted, that is ballsy. Ballsy.
I just wonder what happens behind stage. I mean, behind the curtains, they walk through the gorilla.
Yeah.
And Triple H says, hey, we can't be having that. Then they walk away and say, this is great.
This is awesome. Great.
Man, this just took it up a notch, but I can't make it sound like that they can do this all the time.
No, he wants them to do this. Look, he was the king of taking promos in the direction back in the day of just shoot enough that you questioned whether it was a work or not. Like, he was the king of that back in the day. In the DX
days. By the way, we're going to hear Heyman tonight, which should shed some more light on the matter.
Well, I do appreciate that throughout the European tour, you had no idea who was going to show up on which show for the most part. And the crowds were fantastic. Chicago did a lot of that Friday night for SmackDown. Where's tonight? Is it
Minneapolis, maybe?
Minneapolis.
Is that where it is?
So that should be a good crowd. And again, the chance that you have no idea who's going to show up on what show. That's, in my opinion, the way it should be. I understand people got to have schedules, but that's the way I like it, is not knowing who's going to show up on which show and what's going to happen on a given night. It is a Monday night, so I'm sure we'll get Cena and Rhodes to lead things off.
Roman Reigns.
I mean, the crowd chants. I mean, the Chicago crowd reacted. They did a good job of trying to hold at least a candle to what the European crowds.
I don't know what the Sunday night main event's going to be.
Are you actually questioning what the of WrestleMania?
What's it going to be? I thought Punk was Saturday.
Yes, so Sunday is going to be Cody and Cena.
I thought that was going to be Saturday.
No, Sunday has
I'm
to be.
I'm thinking. I think there's going to be a double dip somewhere.
Wow.
One's going to be Saturday. One's going. I mean, one's going to win Saturday and face somebody on the Sunday. The old Daniel Bryan, but he did it all on the same day, I believe. He faced who? Triple H and The Rock. No, The Rock and I forget who he faced. Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, Sunday. Hey, Sunday has to be Cody.
You watching Raw over Florida and Houston?
No, and let me tell you why. Well, first of all, it'll be on Netflix, and I can watch it whenever I want. Raw, that is. But also because if Florida beats Houston tonight,
Houston.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said you.
Houston.
Hugh. There's an H in Houston. It's not Houston.
Whatever. If Florida wins tonight, my wife wins like $1,100 in a bracket pool.
All right, I can have that, right? I
get no, that. You don't get jack. I won't get any.
Win a bracket.
What's that?
How does she win a bracket?
This is the beautiful irony of this is that I had the worst bracket in our family, hands down. My wife, my two kids, me, my bracket was the worst. At one point, my daughter was in fourth place. Michigan State losing killed her. My son, if Houston, did I say it right there, Kaboom?
Houston.
If Houston beats Florida tonight, he finishes second. He gets like $500. So either way, there's a good chance our family is winning money tonight. And I'm not the one who sits here and talks about sports and crap. For a living, and it'll be someone else in my family who wins.
Now, if your wife wins, does that go to like her pocket? Or does it go to the family budget?
So we've pretty much established that my daughter doesn't listen to this, so I can say this. We'll probably set it aside so that when she gets her license in September, she can have something to drive. You know, a third family car that she can take.
I could sell you a 2000.
No,
I don't want Nissan Altima with 110,000 miles on for $1,100.
I'm good. So that's probably what we'll do with it. But don't tell her that. We want her to think that she's got to work her ass off over the summer. Which, by the way, just got a job at Chick-fil-A. Good for her. Way to go, kid! I expect all the leftover nuggets to come home.
Didn't she have to say, like, have a nice day or something?
My pleasure. They're always so nice there. That is the nicest place on earth, Chick-fil-A. I don't care what you say about Disney World. Chick-fil-A is the nicest place on earth.
It's, see, my daughter got a Canes gift certificate from school for doing something.
Okay.
So she just says she doesn't like Canes. So she's making... She's going to sell that to her brother who likes Canes for a Chick-fil-A sandwich and a milkshake.
Okay.
She wants a sandwich. She doesn't want to go to Canes, but she wants to go to Chick-fil-A. But she wants for her gift card, which is a meal and whatever, a sandwich and a milkshake. I think they agreed on it.
Wow. She negotiated circles around them there, huh?
Although he'll have a three-piece meal with the bread and the fries,
the Texas toast, and the fries, and all of it.
Oh yeah,
that's a good. So I'll be honest. Canes is okay.
Why would she go to Chick-fil-A? By the way,
what's that?
Why Chick-fil-A?
What do you mean, why Chick-fil-A?
Why she choose?
Because they were there at the job fair at the high school a couple weeks ago, and she wants a job that gives her better hours than the job she has now.
Well,
so
she should have went over to. You give a call to Benny Business, see what the Yoli's is hiring.
She wanted to go. She applied to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A called her back, so she's going to work at Chick-fil-A.
Well, you know, another thing is...
I can't tell the kid what to do.
Get some boots on and go put on some Southwest Greens PA.
I'm not trusting her with all that, no.
HVAC? No?
No, she can't do all that.
First and goal.
This is the best comment of the day. Nutting gonna slap a Canes logo on the Willie Stargell statue.
That was the problem there. It wasn't the problem that they wanted to, you know, put an advertisement up. It was them worrying more about the money than the something that means a lot to people. You know what I'm saying? The history, even though Clemente stuff is, you know, numbers and
there it is,
statues and bridges and whatever. They've done a lot to honor him, but to say Surfside's whatever is now more important than a number 21. Why don't you move that down 3 feet and put the 21 at the top? You know.
Yeah.
By the way, this Surfside, I don't know if that's going to help him or not. You think the extra notice gets them?
Well, that's
more engagement, or people are going to boycott it.
Surfside will be fine. They'll do good.
Is that booze?
Yeah, it's like a vodka iced tea mix in a can, basically.
Yeah, there's none of those are out there.
I think they do pretty well. I know somebody
who's hosting Josh Farmer and Josh running Farmer. Back.
Why does Josh Farmer ring a bell? Who is that?
Florida State defensive lineman.
Okay.
And Virginia Tech running back Bashaw Tutin.
Okay. So some more top 30 visits.
Well, they're not top 30.
What do you mean you don't know top 30?
No, the people say they're not the top 30 because it's not whatever. It's whatever. People don't like the term top 30 because it's not their top 30.
Well, no, but they're okay. One of their 30 visits they're allowed to have, exactly. Visitors they're allowed to have. Exactly. There. I don't know where top 30 came from, but somebody started.
Another running back. Woo-hoo-hoo.
I don't think they go running back first round, though.
Where's Tootin looking like? Was he third?
Third or fourth, I would think. That's where I think that makes sense for them. Third or fourth round, depending whether they trade back into the second or not. We'll see. But third or fourth, I think, is what makes sense. Let's take quarterback out of the equation in the first round and say they go D-line in the first round, okay? And then third, fourth round, I think you're just looking for, I don't want to say best available player, but like it quickly becomes that at that point in the draft. Like, you know, I could see them. I'm not a huge fan of Milroe, but like if he dropped into their spot in the third round.
He got invited to Green Bay.
Yeah. So what do you make of that?
A bad decision by Jalen Milroe, or is the league's telling him he's going to be a first round pick? You're setting yourself up for failure there, brother. Just like Joey Porter a couple years ago. He's like, hell with this. I'm going home.
I would think Milroe's going to do the same. Maybe he just wants a free trip to Green Bay. Well, what that tells me is
obviously the league's advising him that he could be drafted at that point.
Who's taking Jalen Milroe in the first round?
Well, apparently somebody. They wouldn't have invited him.
It was enough when we started. And again, I like Jackson Dart. I do. But it was enough when we started to talk about him as a first-round quarterback. Now we're talking about Jalen Milroe as first-round quarterback? Come on.
People get desperate, which leads you to – if Milroe's getting invited to Green Bay, which thinks that maybe somebody moves in late in the first to pick him up, which tells you that the three before that's going to be way gone before 21 shows up. I think all three of those guys are gone before 14.
Cam Ward first to Tennessee, Shador second or third to Cleveland or New York. Jackson Dart ninth to New Orleans.
Let's think about Cleveland. I mean, okay, you go get Kirk Cousins. He's 48. He's not long-term. Obviously, Kenny Pickett can't be trusted. And what else you have? You better – it's not like that's not a need as well. You're already spending $190 million on your linebacker. You're not going to pick your Penn State guy.
Yeah, that doesn't make a ton of sense, the Abdul Carter pick that I keep seeing people. Travis Hunter, I think, would help them a lot.
Yeah, who's going to throw him the ball?
Well, that you worry about that next year if you're Cleveland.
I like Travis Hunter. I would play him at corner, but what do I know?
I think it depends. Well, I think if you're just taking him and turning him into an island corner, yeah, you could probably get away with it, right?
Yeah, it's like saying, I don't want Darrell Revis on my team. I'll take Darrell Revis over. I'm trying to think of a. Would you take right now? It's different eras, but would you take a Justin Jefferson or Darrell Revis right now, or a Randy Moss or a Darrell Revis? That's a different game.
I would take a wide receiver because of the style of game right now.
It's hard to, but what Darrell Revis did, what year, whatever that 1 year was, 07, when he just shut down everybody.
Yeah. Revis Island. Yeah.
Everybody. I mean, I think that's what Hunter can do.
Really?
Yes.
So you'd play him a corner first.
Play him a corner, slide him in there a little bit at wide receiver. Got Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland.
That's true.
I don't know. I doubt that would be the case.
But you think all the quarterbacks are going to go early, which would then lead us to you have your choice of defensive lineman most likely at 21.
Yeah, which I think Harmon or Nolan. Nolan might be a little bit too early at 21, but Harmon might be gone by then too. So that's the filling out spot process too.
What about the Michigan kid?
Grant. I don't think I like him.
No?
I mean, something Tomlin said, you know, you don't really play – he's been saying it for years, but he said it again the other day.
You don't play a true nose anymore.
You need to have a versatile guy. Harmon's extremely versatile. Nolan's versatile. Grant Moore is a.
You don't think he could kick out and play?
Not to the amount. He's not a Hargrave type of guy. Hargrave is undersized nose, but probably right size defensive end. So I think they want more versatility out of that position.
Makes sense.
You don't want 20th overall pick for a guy who's
going to play.
How great downs. Casey Hampton is, but Casey Hampton in today's game would not work because he'd only be on the field 18 plays a game.
All right. We're going to wrap it up for today. We'll be back. Special guest Wednesday. Big special guest on Wednesday.
Should we tell
them who it's going to be?
No.
I think we should tell them.
No, I'm not telling them. Then no.
No?
Tell them?
I think people will get excited if we tell them.
I think we should have to we'll give you a hint.
Okay.
What's the current hint? Pittsburgh Steeler.
There you go. We'll leave it at that. A current Pittsburgh Steeler.
Starter.
Yes, definitely a starter. Joining us on Wednesday we'll talk about all kinds of stuff.
Probably make fun of me, but.
Probably. I mean, that seems to be. Somebody just said Aaron Rodgers. No, current Pittsburgh Steeler, not soon to be.
JPJ. He's going to be at Dick's House of Sporting Goods.
Dick's House of Sports.
We need to get him down at first and goal.
JPJ.
Anybody.
Anybody, yeah. Well, yeah current Pittsburgh
Steeler. You get people out to go. Now, Mason said he might come on before OTAs. I'll hold him to that.
Yeah, well, let's
He doesn't like to rock the boat.
He doesn't have to rock the boat. He can come on and...
I know, but I'm just telling you how he is.
He can come on and we can talk about anything. Mason can just chill, right? Like, I get it. He's worried. He knows you. He knows...
We can talk Piv, your buddy.
Yeah, his buddy, J-Piv. So, Wednesday, current Pittsburgh Steeler will join us on the show. You'll have to be back here on Wednesday to find out who it is.
No, nonstop.
It's not
Cam. It's not Cam. He darted me the other day, so I don't think it's Cam.
Cam darted you.
He darted me off the Burt tweet.
Oh, well, Cam's big time now. He's building up that national media.
Minka.
Not Minka.
DK Metcalf.
Not DK.
No, we're not.
You're not supposed to sit here and guess everyone. You know who it's going to be.
Broderick Jones.
No, not Broderick Jones.
Christian Kuntz is definitely a starter.
I guess technically, yeah. He is.
No better with balls, though. Yeah. I could probably get Cam Johnston. He's a nice man.
Well, get to work on all that. We'll have a special guest on Wednesday.
He would have to respond to me first.
Yeah, well.
We're working on a lot of things, but.
It's cooking. Chef Kabali is in the kitchen.
They haven't seen our intro yet.
No, that'll do it.
Can we use it as our outro, too?
No, I don't have it set up to use as the outro. We don't need an outro. Outro is we just say goodbye, everyone. Enjoy Raw. Enjoy the basketball game tonight. And we'll talk to Ian's on Wednesday morning. That would be the outro. Sound good?
I thought you just did it there.